Thank you for joining us. This is A Moment in Time, a podcast story series, and I'm Kevin Niehaus, your host.
And we're back. Thank you for joining us again for A Moment in Time. And I have a very lovely guest who promised us additional parts to her story. So, Alicia, what do you got for us?
We got dude number two.
Did you hear that? Dude number two. So where do we start?
So I'm in California. I'm working and, you know, kind of dating and nothing's really working out. I'm sitting down with my dear friends, my two girlfriends. One of them's engaged. One of them is married and about to have a kid. And they're like, Alicia, you deserve the same happiness that we have. Like, you should, and you're really good at sharing your life with people. And you want to be in a relationship, so go out there and get them.
So they gave you the pep talk.
Yeah, they're like, you should go out. And I was like, okay, fine. Like, go really find him. So I said, all right, set me up. So they both set me up with somebody different. And I was like, well, I'm going to take matters into my own hands. I'm on OkCupid. I've been on OkCupid, which is a dating app, in case you didn't know. And I think everybody
knows. I think they know.
I think they all know. I think you know. And I find this guy, and he's cute, and he's charming, and he's not into sports, and he's funny, and he looks like John Cusack. Even though I think originally he looked like, that dude from Drew Carey's show. I don't remember.
I can't help you.
That's okay. The Oswald, I think is his name.
Oh yeah, the curly haired guy.
The curly haired guy. I thought he looked like him, but I told him that at one point, and he got kind of offended. So yeah, it was we fell in love on our second date, and we didn't say I love you then, but it was just like super romantic and super nice and super kind and. We dated for 6 months? 9 months?
I like how you were about to say a year and then you went to 6 months.
I don't remember. Maybe it was 9 months.
Let's go 9 months.
I'm going to go 9 months. He asked me to move in. He gave me a key to the apartment because he realized my first serious boyfriend, never physically made space for me in his life.
Mm.
So he used that. He gives me a key. He makes space for me in his closet. He lets me keep my toothbrush there. He's physically, mentally, emotionally making a safe space for me.
So he was trying to help you make amends with the past bad relationship by saying, look, you didn't have this the last time. You're insecure about it. I want you here.
You can't see, but I'm nodding. Yes, absolutely. So I meet his friends. I fit in with his friends. His friends are telling me like, oh my gosh, we've been waiting for a good girl for, I'm going to call him Ben. We're waiting for a good girl for Ben. And yeah, I was it. And that made me feel real good. So he asks me to move in. We have two other roommates. Yeah, we've got two other roommates. And then us two, and we have our bedroom, and then we were lucky enough to have like an office space. So he could kind of, I keep bumping into men who need their own space. So I get it. Cool beans. And then the landlords decided to sell the house. And Ben and I looked at each other and we go, well, let's see if we can do this on our own. So he finds an apartment, we move in, it's like October, and yeah, everything's hunky-dory, peachy-keen. He's an actor, or like in the community, he's a community theater actor, and he gets this role in a show, and he really takes to the role. This is like a dream role for him, and in the show, he has a romantical interest. And we go out for like a cast party one night and I'm kind of not okay with the fact that he's like kissing women on stage, but I realize it's theater. I used to be in theater as a kid. I get it. You got to do stuff.
Now, did this come from Tampa or is this something you've always kind of been uncomfortable with? So for all you new listeners or who may be those who have not listened to part one, Tampa is from Alicia's first part of her story. So do you think it came from Tampa?
Maybe it's from Tampa. A light bulb just kind of went off. Maybe. And I know theater kids. Theater kids, they have, like, these showmances, and they're short-lived. And mind you, I'm, like, 28, 29 at this point. I ask him, I go, do you have to kiss this girl in the show? And he goes, yeah. And I was like, okay, I'm prepared. But we go to a cast party, and there's hundreds of people in this karaoke place, and I'm watching their this is off show. I'm watching their chemistry, and she's in a relationship. But it looked like they were the only two people in the room.
So their energy and chemistry has just kind of got them floating on air.
Yes. And I'm drinking, and we get out into the park. Ben and I get out into the parking lot, and I call him out on it, which is strange because I don't typically stick up for myself. Very rarely. And I say, you know, you had a lot of chemistry. He's like, denies it. He's like, oh, you've been drinking, like you're making things up. She's in a relationship. During the breakup conversation, he goes, P.S., you weren't crazy. Like, I had the hots for her.
Exactly. But it's even like, it's not even about that. It's the fact that he used the you're acting crazy,
yeah,
or you're drunk, and like, again, made you insecure, yeah, and played off of that, kind of like, oh, you're just a female and you're acting crazy, which to me is probably the most disgusting thing you've said thus in the story.
Oh boy. So a few days before the breakup, or no, like a day before
the breakup. Now, what's the time frame from this conversation to the breakup?
2 months.
Oh, maybe? So it kind of came crashing down after here.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah. We're gonna rewind the clock just a little bit. So
you always got to talk about Valentine's Day.
His birthday's in July. Valentine's Day. Yeah, this is great. So Valentine's Day. So we moved in October, November, somewhere in there. Valentine's Day is February. I'd wanted this orange cat my whole life. He knew this. He kept telling me, like, I'm not ready for this cat. I'm not ready. Because he had emotions with cats. So Valentine's Day, we go to breakfast. We're drinking mimosas. We go pick up. We're driving. I have no idea where we're driving. This was, like, his favorite thing to do with me. Like, our dates, I never knew where we were going until we were there. And I dug it super hard. So Valentine's Day was no different. We're driving. We hit some traffic, and he's like, oh, I'm going to take a detour. So we're in the edge of Ventura County, heading into Los Angeles County, and we end up at an animal shelter. And I'm like, are we going to go pet puppies? And
I love that your innocence always shows up.
Hopefully, I'm like, are we going to go get a cat? And he goes, no, we're not here to pet puppies. I'm like, are we here to pet kitties? And he's like, no, we're here to get a cat. So as we're walking in, my dream cat starts walking in. And we get this cat. We take the cat home. I'm super smitten in love with this cat. We go meet my mom and dad for dinner. I get up from the table to go walk around the restaurant because it's super cool and I'd never been there, go to the bathroom, whatever. Turns out he asks my mom, or he says to my mom and dad, I will be sure that you two are the first to know when Alicia and I are getting towards the next step. It's not that he asked for my hand in marriage, but he made it known that that was where we were headed.
And is that how your parents took it? Like, in that moment, they were like, oh, okay, this is getting serious, because he's hinting that he's going to be coming to take this next step with us.
They thought it was weird in how he
phrased it,
because he was very careful with his words. He didn't, like, say, I have a ring. He didn't say, in the next few months. He didn't, and we had talked about marriage, obviously, and we talked about how I kind of dreamed it would maybe go down, like, please ask my dad, and things like that,
because you want the traditional etiquette to be followed.
Yeah, it was really important for my dad, because unfortunately he didn't get that with my sister, my older sister. There's just the two of us, so I really wanted my dad to have that experience with me, as much as I can control. And but yeah, he picked his words very carefully, and they thought that was strange. because they did kind of hear, like, oh, he's asking for permission. So I guess they, like, they're like, oh, okay, thank you, kind of thing. So that's February. He kept doing show after show after show. He kept getting all these actor roles. And I kind of sat him down and was like, I don't know how we can move forward in our relationship if you're always gone in rehearsals and shows. It just leaves no time. So a dear friend of mine sat me down and made me an awesome dinner because I always fucking cooked. I think in the 2 years that we were together, year and a half that we were together, he maybe cooked for me like 4 times. sorry. And yeah. She goes, you know what? You need to talk to him. You need to let him know that you're not okay with the consistent, because you just feel left out. You feel forgotten. You feel all these, I'm hearing all these things, and you need to tell him that, hey, if we want to move forward in our lives, you need to make choices.
So at any point during this, you know, kind of period where he was getting all these shows, did you try to partake in the theater experience with him?
I thought about that. I had thought about either doing the tech thing, because, you know, I've done that before. I don't sing horribly, and I can dance okay, and I can act okay. So I thought about, like, yeah, maybe I should take this up again so that we have something to do together. But then anytime I had the opportunity, my nerves got the best of me, and I just kind of, like, bowed out, and then it was too late. Then we were done.
We were done. So did you follow this friend's advice about having the conversation?
I wanted to, but he got to the punch before me.
Okay.
He went to go meet up with somebody. He was we were both in a wedding. And he meant to go meet up with the best man to talk about the bachelor party or something of that nature. And he came home and broke up with me. Literally, like a day or two after my friend made me dinner.
Ba-ding-ching.
And then he broke up with me.
But did it happen just like that? Like this just surprise?
Like that. Like I can show you an Instagram post of the dinner and then the next day the next day he was done.
But was it just literally like that kind of like in passing, like, oh, hey, by the way, I know we're about to see you at the wedding, but we're not together anymore. And hey, I got to go for the bachelor party.
Kind of. No. I wish he had said, it's not you, it's me. But that's the context of how he broke up. It's not like you're beautiful and you've taught me things and like, every time I said I loved you, I meant it. Sex was still good. But he was, like, depressed after that really important role. Like, no other thing in his life was really fulfilling him. And he was and because he was in a funk, I was mirroring that same sort of funk. Because I just didn't know. I didn't know how to instigate sex. I didn't know how to talk to him. I was just like, all right, you do your thing. And I was walking on eggshells and I felt like he was coming out of it. And I felt like I was definitely coming out of it. And then he sits me down and he goes, it's not you, it's me.
Without using that phrase.
Yeah. Without using that phrase.
So what do you believe it was?
I don't know.
So still to this day, you have no idea why that ended.
I don't know. So he's engaged now. So we broke up in September. We continued to sleep with each other till December. And then I come to find out that he's got this first date with this. And I still have a key to the apartment at this time. So I can go see my cat.
Yeah.
He keeps the cat. I couldn't take the cat with me. So he was like, anytime you want to see the cat, come see the cat. Cat's a big deal, okay?
If they didn't know, they know now.
Cat's a really big fucking deal. And I almost stole that cat. I thought about it for a moment, but my former coworkers wouldn't let me. To the point where I surrendered the key over to them because I was going over, like, after work when I knew he wasn't home to, like, go through his things.
Oh, okay. So let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Bum, bum, bum.
Bum, bum, bum. I made him, like, a really big popcorn bowl, and the cat broke the popcorn bowl, but he saved like half of the bowl. But yeah, I come to find out that like he goes on this date with this girl that I never met, but also from the theater. Lovely and charming. Blonde hair just like me, but like considerably younger. I don't mean like statutory rape considerably, yeah. But he's like in his 30s and she's like 20. He's like 33, 32 and she's like 25 at this point.
So there's a large age gap.
But I like older men. I like men like 8, 10 years older than me. So you can't blame her for that. But none of, well, the friend whose wedding we were in, like, the bride doesn't like her. So I feel like
Pettiness allows you to win.
in the divorce, as I call it, I got the HR lady. I got his ex-girlfriend in the breakup. And I feel like...
So you have relationship custody.
I have, yeah. There's a lot of people who I met through him and because of him. And this is actually why I'm really glad I dated him, is because had I not, I wouldn't have met some of my really good friends and people that I hang out with and have a good time with. So I'm thankful. When he broke up with me, I packed up a night bag. I headed to my parents. And moved all my crap out like less than a week. Had to get a storage unit. I went to work the next day. Mm. I had a coworker like celebrate. She was like, "I'm sorry, but congratulations," was the first thing she said to me when I walked in. I was like an hour or two early because I couldn't sleep the night. And I was like, well, you know, I have one of two choices. I can either be happy that it happened and thankful that we weren't married, we didn't have children, we were on the lease together. I was the co-signer, and still to this day, the co-signer on his car. He's not hurting me with that. But now that he's got this fiance, I actually reached out to him like a month after I found out and was like, yo, you need to take me off. It's, you know, I need finances, I need resources, this is clogging up resources, would you mind taking me off? I kept it very professional and very, like, cut and dry, so.
So, now, when did this actual breakup happen?
This is 2 years ago now.
So, in this 2 years, what other adventure relationships have ended up in this smoothie?
I dated a guy... January of this year. So heading into 2017, I was like, all right, we're going to focus on health. We're going to try and quit smoking. We're going to go to the gym. We're going to focus on you. You're going to woman up. You don't need no man kind of thing.
Okay. So you're rebuilding your foundation.
Yes.
Womaning up. I like that.
Womaning up. You're going to put on your big girl panties and conquer the fucking world.
Or boxer briefs, whatever you
right,
wear.
Right, right. All of the above. And I was like, all right, just one more hit of that cocaine.
By cocaine, she means relationships.
So I go back on OkCupid, and I find this guy who's like 11 years older than me, and I was like, you're cute, you're funny, you've done relationships, I like divorcees. Because they've done relationships, and I'm like, oh, all right.
So they're past their like first major breakup.
Yeah, yeah. They know. I think it's like they know what commitment is.
Hopefully, they weren't the reason for the divorce.
Here's the theory. So I meet him, and I thought our first date was okay. But he asks me out and I think I even went to like some coworkers where I was like, all right, when this inevitably fails on the first date, I'm done. I'm done. And we dated from January till he moved to Georgia in April, like right before Easter. And I knew he was going to move to Georgia pretty early on, like 3 weeks into us seeing each other. But, Hoi vey.
So you basically just kind of kept going thinking like, okay, this is going to be the last date. And then magically you would just find yourself on another date.
Yeah, yeah.
Until he literally
left the state.
I guess it's a good practice run for dating in Los Angeles again.
I missed him. I missed him greatly. I reached out to him and he goes, I was serious when I said I'd fly you out here. So I took a week off from work and flew out. He flew me out to Georgia. And I'm thinking, all right, you're going to be perfect. You're going to be like on point to the point where this guy is like, maybe you should move to Georgia. And I told all my coworkers, like, no, I'm only moving if he asks me to marry him. Legit. I was like, the only way I would move is that. But I was like, hey, if you're on perfect behavior, maybe he'll fly you out again. Perfect. What is wrong with that sentence? Like, Stepford wife? Come on now.
I'm listening. Keep going.
So.
Because I think if anyone actually knew you, they would know that you're like the polar opposite of a Stepford wife.
I like to. Yeah, no. Yeah, you're. I was going to say, I like to think that I can. I like to clean and I like to cook and I like to. Wear makeup sometimes and like don on a really nice dress, but I also swear like a sailor and fart and I'm not a
stepper. And you're not a robot.
But I wish sometimes that I was.
All right, so he flies you out.
He flies me out.
You're going in trying to be on your best behavior.
Night one, he's on the couch and I was like, why did you fly me out? He's like, closure.
Oh, Alicia.
Closure.
So, literally, he on day one.
On like, hour eight. Not even, hour four.
And you have, like, how many days in Georgia?
Seven total. Like, I flew in on a Saturday, I was flying out the next Saturday.
That had to have been super awkward.
Super awkward.
So, literally... You literally start to unpack the luggage, and you're kind of like, okay, can you take me back to the airport now? Because...
You know, I had a backup plan. So I've got family in Georgia, and I was like, if worst comes to worst, I can pick up the phone and call my aunts and uncles and be like, yo, or, like, schedule a flight out, or... But I just decided to stick it through. I fucked up cooking while I was there. I didn't, like, burn the house down, but, like, smoke was a thing. Because apparently I don't know how to cook chicken. Mm. Or he criticized my way of cooking. I was really hungry, so I turned up the heat on high, and that's not how you do chicken, apparently.
That's not how he does chicken. Hashtag this is Alicia's story.
Thank you. You just made my way of cooking chicken poorly. Okay.
But you're uniquely you.
I seared. I did a good sear on the chicken. I did. What else? My dad. I live with my mom and dad. That's right. 31 years old. Live with mom and dad. I don't mind it, but everybody else in society does. My dad makes me breakfast just about every single morning. And the way that I have to tell people, like, this is okay, is because my dad's love language is acts of service. So the fact that I get to sleep in and still get a nutritious breakfast, like, he's really, and he gets to play dad. My dad loves playing dad. My dad.
And plus, you have a pretty great relationship with your parents.
Yes, I do. So we're driving the Blue Ridge Parkway, which, by the way, put that on your bucket list. It is beautiful. And as a photographer, I would love to go back and as somebody who loves to drive, like, yes, put that on your bucket list. Drive the Blue Ridge Parkway. And we're asking, I brought a book of questions, like, what, you know, if you were, on a deserted island, what 12 movies would you bring with you? So I bring this, like, question book. And somehow the thing of my dad makes me breakfast comes up. And he goes, he calls me lazy. Because I was like, I would rather sleep in, roll out of bed, and eat a Pop-Tart than cook myself breakfast. So my dad takes it upon himself to make breakfast. And he goes, you're really lazy. Now, I know this about me, but when somebody else calls me out on my bullshit, I'm not okay with it. And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. My dad likes cooking me breakfast. So that was super fucking awkward.
So your dad called you lazy, not somebody
else. No. Homeboy. Oh. Georgia boy calls me lazy.
Because I was just like, I mean, your dad has the right to call you lazy.
He does. My dad has the right to call me lazy.
But Georgia homeboy.
Georgia dude does not necessarily have the right to call me lazy.
Not cool, Georgia. Not cool at all. Not the state, just the guy.
We're just super wrong for each other, him and I. But I still miss him. Mm. I still miss him. Like, I texted him the other day for some advice. He's super artistic, like, professionally artistic. And my laptop just, like, took a shit. And I said to him, I was like, oh, should I get an iPad Pro to do Photoshop on? And he goes, nah, you should use the, you know, Surface or whatever it is. But, like, I look at his Twitter feed. We're not Twitter friends, but I look at his Twitter feed. We're Instagram friends. I like every single photo.
But I think
he's no good for me.
No, but this is one of the bad things about dating, like, especially in LA or wherever you all are dating, is solely because there is no way to disconnect. Like, if you, creeper status is on a whole new level. It's just like, oh, I'm not even going to follow your Facebook anymore. I've got you on Instagram. I've got you on, oh, what is this? Hello, Cupid. Or okay, what is that? Is okay Cupid?
Okay Cupid.
Sorry, I don't do the okay Cupid. I'm married. Awkward. Okay, so you're finding out that he's just not okay for you. But like, what advice do you have for yourself or somebody else listening?
Ooh, thinking.
Do you want me to play
I don't know. I haven't. I'm back to you. Do you, boo boo? I'm back to that phase in my life right now of don't, I think it's time for me because I put a lot of weight on my romantic relationships and I need to learn better lessons than what I have been.
So now it's been 2 years since your last major breakup, mm-hmm. right? With the guy we're calling Ben, and you've never really kind of, you just got closure recently with Tampa guy.
Yeah.
Right? The one we called Brandon. And now you've got all of this. Do you think, instead of learning the good lessons, have you ever really actually recovered from kind of the trauma of both of those relationships?
I say yes. Maybe not so much Ben, because, like, I still have a little bit of spite. I don't like seeing him. And his fiance is lovely. She's done nothing wrong. She's been actually the one time I interacted with her, she was very kind. I don't know. And I hate saying I don't know.
But I mean, I think the phase you're in right now, like, I think you're really hard on yourself, and I've known you for a long time, that it's one of those things that I would probably say, maybe this is just your fun time.
Maybe.
Maybe you're shaking off all the ugly. You know, like the Tampa ugly, the, you know, Ben ugly.
I'm getting to a point where I'm preparing myself for a life of singledom. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's cool to date. It's cool to have romantic flings. So yeah, I'm just preparing. Like, I want to be married so badly. And it almost pains me to say that, but it's true. I do. I want to be married. My parents are married. They've been married for 37 years. And I know it's not easy. And I know sometimes when you sign that piece of paper, like, nothing changes as it should, but marriage is hard and difficult and beautiful. And at the end of the day, you know, you wake up with somebody who you choose and chooses you right back. And I want that, but I'm preparing for a life of singledom.
She always says nice things and then follows it up with the negative opposite. But, I mean, the funny thing is, though, is, like, because you and I, when we were talking about doing this segment, we were talking about creating a whole different podcast called...
Yes.
Dear Lover.
Dear Lover.
Is solely just, you know, kind of just writing a letter or having an open conversation.
Yeah.
Without the actual person responding, but...
There's some logistical things that go along with that because... I feel like I've had a slew of men that I've slept with. Handfuls, in fact. And I can't remember all the details of all of them. So that would be. But I think I hate, no, hate is a strong word. I have issue with every single person that I've ever slept with.
Mm. Well, I would say this is a really great time to transition out and say, if you all are interested in Dear Lover, it's probably going to be a special segment because I have to be honest, I've enjoyed our conversation. I don't think I've laughed at all this much during a podcast. So, cool. You know, Alicia, thank you for being vulnerable. Thank you for sharing. You know, you're an awesome person and I love you. And ladies and gentlemen, this has been another moment in time. Hey, everybody. I hope you liked Alicia's part two. Definitely like, share, give us any comments, anything, any feedback. We love it. And definitely join us next week because we're going to meet Tim. And he's going to share his story of going East Coast to West Coast multiple times before he and his lovely wife ended up in Alaska. So join us next week.